to Lounge, Lift, Learn, Real Talk with Black Therapists. I'm Lissandra.
And I'm Shelby.
Welcome to the lounge. Welcome to Lounge, Lift, Learn, Real Talk with Black Therapists, where we're having conversations that uplift, inspire, and empower. I'm Lissandra.
And I'm Shelby.
Welcome to the lounge. Hey, Shelby.
Hey, girl.
Hey, y'all. Hey out there in listener land. If you have not tuned into our YouTube channel, please do so and subscribe. We want you to get those alerts. We want you to know that we have a new episode dropping, and we know you're already following us. So if you like the content, share it with the people. Engage with us on Insta and Facebook.
Yes, give us new topics for the next season. We want to know all of your thoughts. So keep it coming. We love to hear your feedback.
Absolutely. So Shelby, what are we talking about today?
Oh, this topic is very personal to me. We are talking about biracial experiences.
Okay.
I know. What's the about?
I like it. It's good. My hmms have lots of meanings. This is a good. I like this topic.
It's going to be a good one. But I have to be fully transparent. It's probably the most uncomfortable topic yet for me. And that might sound strange to a lot of people because obviously I am a Black, white, biracial individual. And I should be able to talk about my experiences very openly and freely. And I will. However, it feels strange to center the biracial experience. And I say that because I don't want this episode to become something where it's like, boo-hoo, like I'm biracial and it's been so hard. Like I'm not looking for people's empathy in terms of what it's like to have to pick and choose between two races or what, you know, just my experiences are, but rather breaking down some of the ignorance about what it's like to carry two races in your DNA in this way and what it's like to show up in a society that sometimes labels you without your permission. So it's not an episode looking for your sympathy, because to be fair, as a light-skinned individual, as a biracial individual, there are things that I experience that are quite privileged compared to my other, you know, Black sisters in the world, or, you know, people who are of darker skin. We can get into the privilege conversation or the colorism conversation for sure. And so I just want to be very careful with that.
I hate the fact that you feel the need to do the disclaimer, because who you are, as you are showing up in this world with the experiences that you have, are just as valid as mine. And so the fact that you feel like you can't center the conversation on Shelby and does not, I guess, would say, I am not looking for your empathy. I am looking for listeners. I am looking for your empathy. I want us to do better, because united we stand, people of color, not Black people, people of color, period.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And that is what advocacy and allyism looks like, right? Like that's it right there. And so I appreciate you saying all that. And yet I still feel the same way, right? That. So like two can be true at the same time. So this topic is coming to the table because I'm like, oh, this comes up very often for me. And Lissandra does a great job of challenging me on things and encouraging me to show up in different ways. So here we go.
All right. So let's talk about history.
History
and biracial. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket science to know where we're going. Like
where did we come from?
You know, who was over here in the Americas back in the day? Who was in the Americas?
The Native Americans.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And then some other people came over, and then they brought our people over, and lots of rape, murder, slavery,
all the things
happened.
Yep.
And so, like, are there love stories? Absolutely. But are there a lot of tragedy? Like, a lot of tragedy? Absolutely. I would imagine your parents are a love story.
I will help some. Yeah, they are.
I would assume your mom was like, "Come here, slave husband."
After five biracial babies later, it better be a love story,
absolutely.
Right? So I think for me, when I start talking about my biracial experiences and those of, you know, biracial individuals around me, I talk about what it feels like to have the blood and the DNA of both the slave and the slave master running mm-hmm. through you, right? And that might sound like, all right, girl, you being a little dramatic, but that's where all this kind of began for us in America mm-hmm. in particular. And then you watch how history plays out as the year goes on, as the years go on. So we go from a one drop rule to with the one drop rule, I'm sure the audience might know what it is. You want to break it down for them?
Why? Well, if you got one drop of blood, you black. One drop of a black person's blood in your body, in your DNA, in your bloodstream. That break it down, because listen, it's a wrap. I don't even know what I'm trying to say.
You got any parts black in you, you're black. And you're not anything else. So it negates the fact that you have this other part of your race that does show up.
Yeah.
I mean, we even think about in the slavery days, we talk about the house slave versus the field slaves. Mm-hmm. Like, who did y'all think was the house slaves? Most likely some of these biracial, it was master's children, mm-hmm. right? Like, so mm-hmm. you think about how that, you know, continues to influence us over the years.
Yeah.
And absolutely. And it's bothersome to know that, you know, all of those things have followed us and that I have to show up. And I see, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, if we want to mention that, mm-hmm. and how it's like, I'm standing up for this race, but the other race is really disappointing me. Mm-hmm. And they're both running through my system.
Right.
How do you show up in a world that's so confusing when the two major races at conflict in your country are the two that you show up to be?
Yeah.
It's awkward.
It is itchy.
Itchy. I don't know if I'm itching or anything like that, but I do feel uncomfortable mm-hmm. at times, and also I relate more to my black side too. Mm-hmm. So sometimes there's moments where I find myself picking and choosing what I feel more of in the moment. And I don't know if I ever feel more white. I think that's the fabric of America, is I'm never like, "Woo, I'm white over here. Let's do this." I've never been white when I call out my identity. It's either biracial or I'm black or I'm mixed, but I don't see myself as white in that way.
Has anybody ever saw you as white, or do they look at you and see black, or what are you?
Oh God, I hate that. I hate that question. It comes up all the time. To be completely fair, I'm often seen as like Asian or Hispanic. So nothing that I actually am, but I often, if I have my afro, my curly fro, that going on, I get more recognition as a black individual. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that the curly fro brings on the individual or the biracial discussions and things like that. I've been categorized as white one time. Hmm. I went into a black club in Chicago with mm-hmm. my best friend, who's a caramel skinned woman, and another best friend who's a white woman. And this black male came up to my best friend, the black one, and said, "Ooh, what are you doing here with these two white girls?" I almost broke my neck, because I was like, "White? Me? Like, me?
What?
I'm white." I was surprised and yet disappointed.
Absolutely.
Because now I'm not black enough, and that feels weird.
Which is stupid, but...
It is.
What is black enough? What is Latin enough? What is white enough? Like, what does that even mean, to be black enough? That's stupid. And I agree with you, because we say that all the time in very degrading ways, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to take your black card because you're not black enough, or you're enunciating your words and you're not black yeah. enough. At the end of the day, why are you black enough? Because your parent black. So yeah. you're black enough. Now, do I speak more eloquently than you? Possibly, because I'm educated. Mm-hmm. However, I'm not doing anything that you can't do. And I can drop my accent. I can drop my eloquialism. That's a word, listeners. Eloquialism. You don't like it?
Oh, are you saying Ebonics?
No. I don't speak Ebonics.
I got you.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
For me to be black enough, I have to speak Ebonics when I make up words.
Oh, I get it.
I'm created in my father's
The
image.
Crazy thing is sometimes I find myself dealing with these double standards within myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not just in society, like you're calling out, but I think about like taking a black card or things like that. And my husband would say I'm not qualified to do such things, but I might say it anyways, right?
You completely qualify.
Oh, but my husband, if I would say, oh, you don't eat collard greens, like go ahead and give me your black card. And he'd be like, I don't even know if you can say that.
I'm
Which makes me
him.
Feel some type
I'm
of way,
for
but
him.
It's
I'm
yeah, you
him.
Can come for him when
I'm
he joins
him.
Us. Yes.
I'm come
so
for him. I got you.
I hear those pieces, and at the same time, I think about black individuals based on the color of their skin, mm-hmm. right? Black individuals who show up in the world and do things that don't support other black individuals, and it's like, well, he ain't black anyways. Well, is he really one of us? And I find myself doing that too, right or wrong, and it's something we should all probably challenge within ourselves
well,
too.
I guess black enough for me, because I certainly have done it, right?
Yeah.
It's not because of how you speak, but it's what you speak about, right?
Yes.
So if you are black like me and you don't care about the needs of our people, then you're not black enough.
Right.
I don't care what the color of your skin is. That part doesn't matter to me. It matters about your heart, right? Mm-hmm. So, sorry.
So is that right?
I mean, is it wrong?
Yeah.
Why like, is it wrong?
It's wrong because it doesn't, somebody's race doesn't come back to how they show up in the world. You're right. You said it clear. You said it clear as day. So look at your double standard. I'm calling us both out because the world needs to be held accountable.
Absolutely. I can't even argue.
So the idea is if you come from parents who are black,
right.
then you are black. And nobody can take that from you. And yet we can say that we're dissatisfied with how you show up in the world.
Right. And to be completely fair, because you know I play the devil's advocate all day. And to be completely fair, I don't know what that individual's childhood was like. Like, for
True.
Example, what was yours like?
I grew up in an extremely diverse suburb of Chicago, right? So everybody looked mixed, black, white, Hispanic. Like, literally, I think my high school was one of the top five diverse high schools in the nation.
See?
So I didn't worry about people playing the race card or doing certain things with me or whatever we want to call it because everybody knew what it was. Nobody questioned it.
So that makes me wonder, when culture shock hit you?
Ooh, trigger. Culture shock hit me when I went to my four-year university. Hmm. And we just gonna call it out because y'all need to know who you are. I went to the University of Missouri, aka Mizzou,
okay.
Which is, you know, about 6 hours away from here in little mid-Missouri. And I realized that people only saw me as different or other or black. And I had no problem being black, but it was just the labels and being treated differently for being a black individual.
Yeah.
And I think that has more to do anything than just the culture of the South in that way versus me being biracial, though.
But it
was a culture shock of race. Race is a thing.
Absolutely. But it also then is other. It sounds like other people identifying you versus you being able to identify you.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, who I am is who I am. You don't get to define me
right.
for me.
So when you go down to one of those schools and people look at you, and it sounds so crazy, y'all, for people to look at you and say, what are you? And oftentimes I'll just look and say, what do you mean by that? Like, I'm a student, like,
human.
I'm a woman, or I'm a human. Like, I spit it back at them in a way that's kind of like, I'm all of these things, say it with your chest. Like, if you want to know if I'm black or white or what race, say it with your chest.
Say
I don't,
it with your chest.
And they don't, because they're beating around the bush, because America doesn't make racial conversations very comfortable.
Mm.
So they don't. So what are you? And I do, like, try to challenge it. And then when they get down to it, it's like, well, I'm mixed. Mixed with what? Blah. And it's just, like, a whole thing. It's exhausting.
It is. And sometimes you just want to be a complete smart aleck. Like, I'm a transmission.
Ooh.
Like, just stupid stuff. Like, what are you, a transmission?
It's.
And just hold the face.
Y'all should feel uncomfortable. Because that's what it feels like.
What are you?
That's the point. What are you?
It's so rude, though. Like, and to be transparent, I have walked up and been in space with people that I couldn't look at them and go, oh, they're black, they're white, they're Asian. Mm-hmm. I could not identify. And I was like, my God, they are gorgeous, but I have no idea what they are. And still, is it ignorant to ask? Is there ever a way that someone could respectfully, for me and all of our listeners,
sure,
to ask that question?
I mean, that's a good, I don't think I've ever thought about it too much. The reality, my experience has been, as a mixed person, I've not been uncomfortable asking somebody else that question. And I think it's like, well, we relate to each other. We get it. Mm-hmm. It feels weird when it comes from somebody who is not of like mixed background. Mm-hmm. It always has felt weird, black or white. But I think if you come from a place of like curiosity, like, ooh, like I'm just curious. I'm interested in knowing, like, what's your background? Like, what is your racial makeup? If you don't mind me asking, like giving it permission that if you do mind me asking, I'll back up, mm-hmm, and you don't have to answer. Mm-hmm. But I think that feels more mannered, well-mannered than maybe, what are you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I think race in general, and this is why I was like, all right, let's do the biracial episode, just needs to be talked about more openly. So, I shouldn't be so uncomfortable talking about the biracial experience because America hasn't taught me that it's okay or we can freely do it in a safe way, because race has never been safe, right, for black individuals.
Right. Or apparently or mixed, biracial individuals.
Or mixed individuals, right, or Hispanic. Let's just be real.
Right. Because America, though it's the country that we're a part of, has not been safe. Like, and people don't really want to have that conversation, but the truth is, it's not safe. If you, mm-hmm, are a person of color, we have experienced some things, and so we hear a lot of things, and, you know, there's going to be pushback, but I'm okay with it.
I just thought about something.
Tell me.
I just had a thought. If somebody, if a white person asked me, what are you? I think I would just ask them, what are you? I would ask it back. Well, what are you? Like, what do you mean right in that way? Because I guess where I'm coming from with that is the question is trying to center whiteness. Mm-hmm. Like, whiteness is the standard. Mm-hmm. And if I know who I am as a white individual, you are other. Hmm. And so it's like, let me put that back on you, because at this point in time, you know, the white community, they're not going to be the majority eventually. Mm-hmm. So we got to start breaking that down and dissecting the pieces so that they don't feel so centered in this way.
Is it
go
the same? I'm considering this while you're speaking. Mm-hmm. Is it the same? What are you, or what is your ethnic background? Does it matter how it's phrased?
Well, what are you? Yeah, that's utterly disrespectful. Mm-hmm. What are you? Because
a trans?
Am I a dog? Am I an alien? Like, what
I'm
do you
going
mean?
Straight stupid.
I like that.
I'm a Honda. What are you? I'm a Toyota.
It's disrespectful. It's dehumanizing, right?
Right.
I think it is helpful to go the extra mile and say, what is your background? But I always go back, do you mind? Yeah. Or, you know, if like, is that okay that I'm asking this? I don't mean to be rude. I'm curious. Mm-hmm. Let me know what your intention is behind this, right, essentially, so that I don't think you're just being nosy and trying to other me again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what? What are you?
Like, oh, I thought you were going to pull my hair. I was no, like, no, fix my
I
hair.
Like, I was disrespecting and dehumanizing.
Yes,
you. Just
that,
reaching
that's
out, touching, and treating you like the
well,
the
that
cat
I'm
or
entitled to
yes.
know your background. Because, I mean, what good is it going to do for you to know that?
Period. So, like, it does me no good when I see this person. Yep. But at the same time, I also want to communicate, I see you, I see we're different, and I want to, like, honor our differences, and I want to know who you are.
So totally off the cuff, but something coming up for me right now is like, who of the biracial people in front of us and the celebrityhood and all that stuff, who's considered black, who's considered mixed, who's considered white? I mean, if I'm naming some people that people kind of mix up for me, I think of Mariah Carey. Mm-hmm. That girl is very pasty. Look, my legs are pasty right now. I ain't getting no sun. But like, she's really pasty. And I don't know if half the people realize she's black, white, biracial.
Right.
Probably not. Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. I rarely hear people say, our biracial president.
Not never.
Absolutely
Double
not.
Negative
he is our first black president. And I'm like, it must be nice to just be something. Except, does he identify as just the first black president? Who asked Obama what he is to America?
Man, that's a great president, Barack Obama.
Can somebody call him up?
If you're listening, Michelle, my sister, I love you. If you're listening, has anybody asked former president, he's going to always be president, Barack Obama, what he identifies as. I would love to know that.
Great question.
Straight from his. You can come and talk to Shelby and I.
Please.
On the Lounge Lit Learn podcast. We would be so excited.
Yeah.
However,
who asked
really
him? Who asked
I really
him?
Want to know.
Right? We talk about, let's talk Meghan Markle since we're going up in the royalties and things like that. Meghan Markle, I think, was seen as our first black princess. Yeah. And yet people were so disappointed in her for not doing certain things or for straightening her hair.
Ma'am, which is already straight.
We could do
what I'm just
we
saying
want.
Her hair is straight.
Her hair is naturally curly.
Is it? I've never seen
yeah,
it.
Yeah, her hair is naturally curly.
I don't think I've ever seen it curly. I thought it was straight. But at the end of the day, it could be whatever it is.
It can't, exactly. So we have the freedom to do that. But then it's people putting you in boxes. Well, she straightens her hair. She wants to be white. Ma'am, sir, she's black and white, and that's what she is always identified as.
Mm-hmm.
But she could be our first black princess as long as the people label it that, right?
But then,
that's frustrating.
But then inside the culture, then there was a lot of pushback and kickback on her because then she wasn't black enough and she
Correct.
Wasn't all the things. So it has to be difficult, which is why I said I fully expect the people to empathize with you. Like, I think it's a necessity. I think how do you want people to empathize with you when you can't empathize with others?
Yes.
So I don't need for my child to be the child that goes missing to empathize with the child that goes, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And you got the people that show up for the cause when it's theirs. And so at the end of the day, if you want me to respect your cause, respect somebody else.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, take note, y'all.
I'll take an offering.
this other piece about being biracial is there's a lot of stereotypes about, well, which parent was black? Because that matters, right? You got a black mama, that's going to be different than if you have a black daddy. You're going to do things different. So I wondered if you've seen that a bit.
I've seen that a lot in and out of the therapy room. Like, I have biracial cousins, like, who are Latin and black. But at the end of the day, you see a lot of identity confusion. I think I see identity confusion when either parent has a identity is in their own identity crisis. So if one of the parents is not ascribed to their own cultural experience,
not in touch, yeah,
then I will see issues with that child.
Okay.
With that side, whether it's black, white, Latin, or otherwise, if I have a black and Latin set of parents and the Latin parent is not in touch, then you have a child growing up black. But there's a whole Latin side here and vice versa. Like, it's all the things. And so whichever parent is detached. And so I've seen that. And when it breaks my heart, When it's black, white, biracial because of all of the racial strife, that becomes harder when I watch young black people attempting to navigate the world when they're filled with negative messages about themselves, self-hate, they're sitting in crowds that are beneath them, where they're being demeaned, and they're not even aware yet. And so now here I am having to kind of guide in my office and expose. And it's hurtful when they say stuff and I go, your friend said that? That's not very friendly.
Yeah.
Like, even in Bel Air.
Mm-hmm.
You've never seen Bel Air?
Nope.
Bel Air, Carlton is, both parents are black.
Yep.
But Carlton is very...
shows up a certain way.
He shows proper. Up extremely... what would be that best way to describe that?
It's not proper? It's not...
No, because I'm trying to go to, like, society-wise. It's a space in society.
Mm.
This is a very affluent, wealthy... it's just going to look different.
I know Carlton because I haven't seen that, but I know how Carlton shows up.
So he shows up really different and he's doing all the things that his white, rich counterparts are doing. And so it's fine when his white friends are calling people the N-word and saying the N-word And when Will shows up, he's like, bro, what are you doing? He's like, it's fine. But it's not fine.
Yeah, but you're trying so hard to fit in. And so you let things slide. Or you don't.
You don't even know that it's not okay.
So is this actually a biracial issue? Or is this a identity crisis that anybody can experience?
I think it could be either. I think it has to depend on the parents. So I'm not going to minimize and make the fictional character Carlton story Shelby's story.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So she has her very valid experience, as do many. And so when I've had the people, like I said, so mom is white and dad is black. If dad is detached from the culture, and mom is fully engrossed in her culture without an attempt to help this child understand their culture. Now this child is going to grow up like as simple things as like hair. You know, we talk about hair.
Yep.
If you want to hear it in detail, listen to the entire season. But if I grew up with a white mom, I don't have a model of a mother putting a bonnet on at night. Or tying her hair down with a scarf. And so when my hair is unruly and I'm doing all the things and mom is frustrated because she's wasting money and I'm frustrated because I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
There's no exposure.
Yeah. I agree that like it's very easy for a biracial kid to get lost when there's no digging or work from the parents, right?
Yeah.
So I'll speak to my very personal experience. My mother is white and my father is black. And I would say both of them are pretty immersed in their cultures, right? They're separate. And white people do have a culture. Let's just call it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very immersed in their cultures and connected to family. But I know for me, my mom has kind of taken a hands-off approach in talking about race. Like, we know the things. Like, she's never, like, spoke against anything. Like, she'll see the things in the news and be like, that's messed up or whatever, right? But my dad has a very... he wouldn't agree with this, but he has a way of showing up and sometimes being very angry towards white people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very trauma-based for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll make comments on the news that are probably, like, inappropriate, like, you know, for me to hear as a biracial child. And he'll gear it maybe towards my mom or things like that. Then you got your children who are biracial hearing this, and it's like, well, what am I supposed to make out of the other half of me?
Absolutely.
How do I figure that out for myself?
How does that hit my confidence, my self-esteem?
How do I show up? Does daddy accept me?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm half white, and he's talking about these white folks like that, right?
Does daddy even see my whiteness?
He sees it when I can't dance. So, like, if I'm not dancing well, or, you know, there's something that's not coordinating right, or sometimes I talk a certain way, and he'll be like, oh, that's the white side of you, or that, you know, that you're such a white girl, whatever that is. And it's like, dude, you're supposed to be my foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just going to come from my dad, my black side, because my white side has made mistakes too, right? And they are the most loving people, and they still are flawed. And so as I've been raised by these individuals, you know, comments will be made like, ooh, why do you talk like that? You talking real black. Don't you want to talk like you're more educated? And it's like, oh, and like nobody, they don't say that around my dad though. They know better.
Because he don't come for him.
Exactly. So they know better around dad, but other, you know, other comments about, you know, your hair, or if you wear, you know, your braids a certain way, they're confused by the braids. They're touching your hair and making the comments, and you just feel like an animal. You feel like an animal sometimes.
And your family.
And you're still loved. So how do you break that down where you're confused between the love you get that feels unconditional until you're picked at like a pet? It's hard.
I can imagine.
And so I just recommend that if you are a parent of a biracial individual, or you know individuals who might be going through these things, you're just very intentional about talking about both parts of their racial concerns and open up the floor for them to just be honest about what they experience. It's big.
This transfers in, and I'm going to tap it and run back over here. I recall, because this one is about adoption.
Okay.
And a white parent adopted a black kid, and they were talking about, they went to this really loving church, and they had their first child, and they adopted this white child, and this child's loved, and then they adopted the black child.
Mm-hmm.
And how the community was very different. And it was some article, and if I looked for it, I could find it. But she talked about, I didn't realize I went to church with a bunch of racists until I
I'm sure you
adopted
did
my black baby. Yeah. And just all of the things that she intentionally did to protect that child. And so if whether I adopt the child and it's fully mm-hmm. black, or I'm of one ethnic background and my partner's of another, we have to be there, do our due diligence to make sure that we're infusing our children. How do your mom and dad show up for you when the parents or the family members out, external family members are making faux pas?
Usually they're not around. Right. So these are like people who you go spend the night or you're hanging out with individually, and the comments will come up. Sometimes if for whatever reason my dad would be around, I'm trying to think of a time where that would happen. It would become like a very political talk, or it would get uncomfortable and you would feel the tension in the room, and then we would move on. But I think my dad's quick to set a boundary, and but they're careful to monitor themselves around
so
him.
So when he wasn't around, would you tell him what happened?
No, probably not, because, again, you're confused by the amount of love you receive from them, and you so enjoy hanging out with them. If I tell my dad this and now there's tension, he's going to let me go back.
Over.
Right. So now you just kind of learn to navigate that. I think as I got older, you learn to challenge those comments. Well, what do you mean by, you know,
so
more
how
educated?
Do you, knowing that, how do you do it, or would you do it any differently with your children?
Oh, absolutely. I think it has even trickled down. Do you mean like in terms of confronting the issues? Mm-hmm. It has trickled down even to my own siblings. My confidence about race and me dissecting, me challenging my parents if they make a strange comment. My siblings are now speaking up if an auntie or cousin makes a comment. And I'm like, oh, yes, yes, that's mm-hmm. good. That's good. Because mm-hmm. they saw me learn to do it. Mm-hmm. And it, yeah, I feel like it only came when I went off to Mizzou, a school that highlighted race for me, mm-hmm. and I had to be more informed to correct these people, my loved ones, right? Something that you said is blaring to me, this idea of color blindness. Mm. And this is not just in particular to the biracial experience, but I think about white mothers and saying, yeah, my kid is black, but I mean, I just love them as a human. I hear that. I don't know if you hear it, but I've heard it. And how harmful it actually is, even though the intentions are good. I treat everybody the same.
Absolutely.
I don't see race. I don't see differences. You're hurting your kid because at the end of the day, their experiences are very different
Absolutely.
From yours.
Absolutely.
So in terms of immersing your child into the society that race actually plays a part, I would encourage parents to get the books. Get books that include kids that look like your kid and your family. Right. I would include these. I would recommend that these parents go out into the community, get involved in some type of leagues or activities that include different diverse groups and things like that. Go to diverse churches. We've seen that where
Absolutely.
They take them to a very white church and say nobody looks like them.
And
so, get involved. If you love your black kid or your biracial kid so much, go get involved in the black community.
Absolutely. And if you don't want to be involved in the black community, why are you involved with a black person? But that's another.
Oh, because it's cool. Mm. Black culture is just cool.
So can I push us to beauty standards?
Go
I mean,
because
you know, you're mixed and you got that good hair and you light
skinned.
Oh, child. And
how do you know? How
do
you know
so
I have good
pretty
hair?
Because you're light.
No, because I'm mixed. And you're
mixed.
All,
and mixed kids are so cute.
They're so pretty. I promise y'all there are some unattractive biracial people. Just like there's unattractive black folks, dark-skinned folks, light-skinned white folks. Like, we have the full spectrum. And I'm not the type to call ugly. I know you are. But I'm not going to call nobody ugly. But we all look different. And we have certain and we are no different than any other race in that way.
What? You have ugly people too?
I mean, maybe not as many. No, I'm just kidding.
I cannot. Like,
but
real
yeah,
talk.
It the good hair argument, it's just as frustrating to us as I think it is to our black or dark-skinned sisters in that way too. We have the full spectrum of all of those pieces. So I hate that. Just because we're biracial does not make us cute. And I promise you the attitudes are the same in the spectrum.
Who said that? If you're ugly inside,
you're
ugly outside. It was on one of the movies. Was that Color Purple? I don't remember.
That sounds pretty.
Help
that sounds
out.
Pretty much
Come on,
like
listeners,
that.
Tell mean, what was that? Are you ugly? Yes. I don't know. It could have been, but I just hear old girl from Miss.
On a mental health level, sorry to cut you off. On the mental health level, we do need to talk about if you are not included and embraced for what you claim to be in mm-hmm. terms of, or feel to be, or know yourself to be in terms mm-hmm. of racial identity, what are the effects of that?
Oh my gosh.
Mentally.
Again, that if my, that's, it wrecks my self-esteem, it wrecks my confidence. If I'm not accepted, now I'm depressed or yep. struggling with anxiety disorders or bulimia or anorexia, like all kinds of eating disorders and anxiety disorders or mood disorders, like any and all of those things. Cutting, like people just start trying to find ways to cope.
Yep.
Because I don't fit in. And so now I isolate. And now I don't have any friends. And so now I socially withdraw. Like, that's because right. I'm not accepted anywhere. I hear that a lot. Like, the black church doesn't want me and the white church doesn't want me. I'm not
yep.
black enough for the black church. I'm not white enough for the white church. And it just, you know, I just imagine it can't be simple. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's very ignorant to minimize people down to, well, you're biracial, so what do you have to cry about? Like,
yep.
like that happened, and I'm going to call my cousin out. I'm not going to say his name.
You know who you are.
But you know who you are. Because he had a very, very, very strong feelings about Meghan Markle.
Okay.
And how she should have known better. And, like, what has she done for black people? And my challenge to the black man that mm-hmm. was challenging this biracial woman, it was, my question was, what have you done
Ooh.
For the black people?
Well,
please don't come holler about what she didn't do.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you doing? And so if you're not out here riding on front lines and fighting, how dare you? Her road, her trajectory, all the things are not your thing.
That's
so I
true.
Don't get to say, well, Shelby, what you doing for the black people?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing, period? What are you doing with your life?
Yikes. That's a good call out.
Just saying.
Yeah. Meghan Markle, I mean, I feel like that thing is so complex.
It is.
And, you know, I think, from what I understand in her background, she has been very big in advocacy work.
Absolutely.
For women, feminism, mm-hmm. the black community. Her mother was very active as well, I think, as a social worker. So
absolutely.
She has been immersed in all the pieces, and yet we still look to her as if she's not black enough.
What? Because at the end of the day, people are ignorant.
Yeah. I just want to know why everybody's so concerned about where we fit in as biracial individuals.
You want me to read?
What does? Why does it? Yeah, I want the real answer. I want, keep it real. Why?
People stupid.
Is that simple?
Because at the end of the day, yeah. Like, life is life in out here. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to hang on to my marriage, hang on to my job, hang on to my house, do this ministry that God has called me to do. I don't have time to get into your, you know what I'm saying? Why Shelby get to wear her hair? However, that's stupid. And so if that's where your focus is, I'm going to call you to think higher, be higher, do better. Just do better.
So is it insecurity? I'm listening to this very closely. So is it more insecurity within self? Like, I'm frustrated. I can't do certain things with my hair or whatever. I can't live a certain way. So I'm going to jump on other people. Is it a sense of control? I don't. I feel like it's deeper than what. If they're not just stupid, there's something missing.
Did I say stupid?
She said stupid.
Fine,
because they're
it.
Stupid, and
because it's
something
or they say something stupid. But yes, I would agree with that. I think ignorance is one thing. Ignorant and stupid are not the same.
No,
ignorant is a lack of awareness. So when you hear us say ignorant,
correct.
We're not calling people stupid. When I'm calling people stupid, sometimes I'm joking and sometimes I'm not. You know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Watch my face; you might be able to tell, maybe. However, some is ignorance, you know, like I don't know any better, so I don't do any better. And I grow up hearing ignorance, right?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I spout ignorance. And we see that. We see that with young, I see that all the time in the office with younger people spouting off the things that they've heard
yeah.
their parents say. They haven't formed their own identity yet. So I think it's ignorance. That's certainly one thing. And then maybe a fear, what I don't know, what I don't understand, I attack some people.
You know what's heartbreaking about this entire conversation? And I even hate that it has to be a conversation, right? Let me just be clear. I think what's heartbreaking is I know that this didn't just stem from us.
Mm-mm.
as a Black community. Like, it's very obvious that this has been passed down mm-hmm. through the fabrics and inner threadings of America mm-hmm. and making sure that Black folks come against each other.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
And I go right back to what I talked about at the very beginning of our house slaves versus our field slaves.
Yeah. So we started separating.
And we continue to embrace it with these ignorant comments or putting energy into something that just, it matters, but it doesn't. It's not your business to worry about how I identify and how I'm going to show up in the world.
It's my business. And I cut you off on purpose. It's my business to make sure that you have the freedom to identify how you show up in the world.
Amen, sis.
So that's what my business is. Not to tell you who you are.
Right.
Like, my name is Lysandra. You don't get to give me a name that I don't accept. So you can say, hey, let me call you Lala. And I'll be like, sure, you can call me Lala. But if you say, hey, Lala, and I go, ooh, please don't call me Lala. I really don't like it. That's my right. I have the right to tell you what I don't like. I also have the right to walk up to you and go, hey, I'm Lala. I'm a Black woman. Hey, I'm Lala.
Yeah.
I'm Puerto Rican. Now, you might look at me and go, she don't look Puerto Rican. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if
yeah.
I walk up and I tell you I'm Puerto Rican, you don't know what's in my history.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? However, I'm not Puerto Rican. I'm just Black. You know, Blackity Black.
She just
playing
today.
Blackity Black.
Oh, gosh.
I'm Black, y'all.
So question, can I say all that?
Because I'm Black, y'all.
I just get frustrated mm-hmm. that we are still having the conversation,
sure.
right? Like, that, it comes back to that. There's so many other amazing things we could be focusing on in the world. Stop belittling this to putting me in categories. That's for my Black folks and my white folks.
Because I was about to say, when you said that, I giggle because it's like, they're like, oh, God, this conversation again. I'm sick of talking about this. Imagine being us. I'm tired of having to have these conversations.
Yeah.
But stay tuned to Lounge, Lift, Learn, where we'll continue to have all these conversations and more.
Oh, you sound
Did
so
I sound
good.
Really
you
like...
You sound so good as an infomercial, doesn't she? But essentially, at the end of the day, we are pointing to check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's it. Check yourself, check your biases, check all the pieces so that you don't have to sit here and waste energy on things that don't mind you. Like, we don't need to focus on that.
Mm-hmm. Be an ally.
Lysandra stood up for me today. She really stood in the gaps. She did a great job of modeling that behavior, and I hope that you guys took notes from how she did that, creating space to allow me to, you know, vent and put out my experiences so we can learn and we can do better.
And my push, my encouragement, and the last thing I want to say about this, I don't know if you have more, is go and continue this conversation. Again, we are having conversations that uplift and inspire you to go and continue the conversation. So go sit in your circles, Black, white, or otherwise.
Yes.
How do I do better? That is my tag for this whole do better.
That's it.
But thanks for listening.
As always.
Like, subscribe, and share.
Bye.